Well, if you've got your Bibles with you, do please turn back to those two pages of the book of Jonah. And we're not going to be looking at one particular chapter, but rather taking an overview of the whole book this morning. It's an important question that people often try and answer, that people want to know the answer to. And that is the question of what God is like. How can we know? How do we know? Who decides? For those who say that there is just one God and all religions just follow different paths to him. But when we look at what the Bible says about what God is like, when we look at what other religions say their gods are like, that can't be true. They're not talking about the same person. As Christians, we come to this book, the Bible, to find out what God is like. This is God's truth. This is God's word. This is how God has revealed himself to us. And often we can fall into the trap of thinking like the world does, that, well, this is just one of many truths. No. This is the only truth, God's truth. But also we can sometimes fall into the trap of reading these great stories of men like Jonah and David and Daniel. And we look at the people. We look at their bravery, maybe. We look at their faithfulness, perhaps. But we forget that the Bible is not really about them. It's showing us how God works in their lives. It's showing us what God is like. And I want us, with God's help this morning, to look at this book of Jonah and see what we learn about God from this book. See, often people think that the Old Testament, we have a God who is fierce and vengeful and angry, a God who just brings great judgment. And then when you get to the New Testament, then God shows his mercy and grace. And that's just simply not true. And this book of Jonah is such a great example of that. Because here in the Old Testament, we see God full of mercy and grace, just like he always is. And I suppose if there is one key verse for us to hang our thoughts on this morning, it's verse 2 of chapter 4. It's a verse I read earlier when we were speaking to the boys and girls. This is what Jonah said: "For I know that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster." So what I hope to do is, through the characters and people in this book of Jonah, to show how God is merciful and gracious and slow to anger. I want us to see how the God of Jonah, the God who saved Nineveh, is our God today. And then finally, I want us to look at our response. We have lots of different responses to God's character here in the book of Jonah. What is our response to this merciful and gracious God? So what is God like? How do we see it here in the book of Jonah as God deals with three peoples, three groups, I suppose? We've got the city of Nineveh, we've got the sailors in there, and we've got Jonah himself. Let's start with the city of Nineveh as we consider what God is like, how God shows that he's merciful and gracious. How does he show that in his dealings with Nineveh? Well, to start with, there, right at the beginning of chapter 1, we have what may appear quite an unremarkable verse, verse 2. This is what God says to Jonah. He says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." You see, here already we have God showing his mercy and grace. I joked earlier that this might be the equivalent of us being asked to go to Portsmouth. It's, yeah, harsh on Portsmouth. Nineveh was so much worse. We read about it here. We read the king himself there in chapter 3, verse 8, talking about the violence and the evil that's there. Nahum was another prophet that was sent to Nineveh, and he talks about the opposition to God. He talks about the witchcraft that's there, the prostitution, how cruel they were in war. This was not a good city to be in. What's more, this city isn't a city in Israel. This city isn't where God's chosen people live. This is a city of God's enemies, of a nation that's opposing the nation of Israel. The nation of Assyria had their capital city in Nineveh. And it's to this city, to people outside of God's covenant, to these people who don't worship God, who have nothing to do with him, who come into the land of Israel and take their cities and their land, who oppress the Israelites, it's to them that God sends Jonah. Because even though this is such a wicked city, even though this is a city that's opposing God, that's so cruel, that there's so much evil going on there, even though it's a city that's an oppressor of Israel, God sends them a prophet. God sends them a warning. You see, God is just and holy. He will, and he does, judge sin. But God isn't a God who just sends disaster without warning. God isn't a God who's just going to judge in a second. God is gracious and merciful. He shows such mercy to the city of Nineveh because he doesn't deal with them as they deserve. He warns them and sends them a prophet. What's more, when we get to chapter 3, we see God's mercy so much more. The people hear his message, they repent. And there, verse 10 of chapter 3, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Is the God of the Old Testament cruel, judgmental, harsh? No, this is a God who is merciful, who relents to send disaster. He sees the repentance of the people of Nineveh and withholds his hand. God shows mercy to Nineveh. What about these sailors, though? We have these sailors that we meet in chapter 1 as well. I don't know any sailors personally, but they don't really get a very good press, do they? Particularly historically, when you think of kind of all the stories of pirates and brigands, and you think of people being press ganged, they're kind of a hard-drinking, foul-mouthed kind of group of people. And you have to look at these verses here, and it kind of paints this typical picture of the sailors here in chapter 1. If we look at verse 5, when this storm comes on them, it says, "The mariners were afraid. Each cried out to his God. They hurled the cargo that was on the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah had gone down to the inner part of the ship and lay down fast asleep. So the captain said, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give you a thought to us that we may not perish.'" You see, they're a very superstitious bunch here. They're praying to any god, to anything, to anyone that might help them in the middle of this storm. And yet God is so gracious to them. He shows them his power. They saw that great storm, the storm that makes them afraid. And then they see what happens as soon as Jonah is thrown into the sea. Probably makes you, like it did me, think of the storm on the sea in the New Testament when Jesus' disciples were with him in the boat, and when Jesus speaks, that storm just goes in an instant. And Jesus' disciples said, what kind of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him? God shows his power to these sailors. They saw his power in the storm. They saw that it could stop in an instant. And what then is their response when they see it? They feared the Lord, verse 16 of chapter 1, exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. God is gracious to these sailors, and they get to see what Jonah's God, the God of the Bible, our God, is like. But what about the man Jonah himself? We know that first part of the story so well, don't we, about Jonah running away from God, doing the exact opposite of what God had told him to do. And yet God is so kind to him. He is so merciful. He shows him such love. You know, at the best, what should God do with Jonah? You know, just leave him, perhaps. Maybe choose someone else to go to Nineveh. Let Jonah just run off. At the most, come on, surely Jonah should be judged. He's disobeyed the word of the Lord. He's gone directly against what God had told him to do. And this is a man who knows what God is like. When we look at our verse in verse 2 of chapter 4, Jonah knew what God was like. He said, I know that you're a God who is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That's why I didn't want to go, he says, because I knew that you're like this God. And even though he knows that God is like that, even though he's seen it in his own life, even though he knows it from the history of the Israelite people, he runs away. But God shows him exactly what he is like. And what better preacher to have? You know, I'm sure Jonah could have been quite a good preacher if he'd gone to Nineveh straight away and talked about what he knew about God. But how much better is he now when he's experienced God's mercy firsthand? When he's seen God shouting to him through the storm? When he's been brought to his knees on the inside of a belly of a fish. Because that's how God has chosen to save him. When he's there coughing and spluttering on dry land as he's been thrown up on the beach. Because God has shown him mercy. He has experienced it for himself. He has seen what kind of God he serves. What a contrast we have with Jonah, though, in chapter 4. We have a God who is slow to anger and a prophet who's very quick to get angry. God has been so merciful to Jonah twice already. And when we come here in chapter 4, he doesn't seem to have learnt much at all, does he? How like him we are at times. And yet God doesn't have a quick temper like Jonah. He's kind to him. He's gracious. He teaches him and shows him yet again what kind of God he is. Jonah was right. God is a gracious and merciful God who is slow to anger. We see it so clearly in this great book. We see it, though, through the pages of Scripture. Time and time again, that this is what God is like. I don't know about you, but I remember when I first met Rhoda for the first time and started to go out with her, that I remember advice from my parents. They said, you know, get to know her really well, see what she's like in all situations, with all different people, in different times of the year. You know, if you're committing to a relationship, you really need to know what that person is like in every situation and circumstance. And here in the Bible, we have a record of God's dealings with mankind all through history, over centuries, over millennia. And we see that God is always the same. That God shows mercy and grace to his people. He shows mercy and grace even to those who aren't his people. And this God, I've put that verse up behind us. It's from Micah. I, the Lord, do not change. Yes, the men's breakfast, we were looking at Genesis. And there, even when Adam and Eve have sinned, God is showing grace and mercy. Clothes Adam and Eve. Sends them away from the garden so they can't take of the tree of life. See God speaking to so many people through the Old Testament. We have him here in Jonah. And then when we get to the New Testament, we see God, yes, in justice again, needing to judge sin. But in his mercy and grace, providing a saviour. Providing someone who's going to take that sin on himself. Those Old Testament sacrifices were pointing to it. They're a poor picture. And now we have Jesus Christ, that sacrifice once for all, that one that John the Baptist shouted out, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That as Jesus said, whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. God in his mercy and grace providing a way of salvation, providing a saviour who takes the weight, the debt, the payment of our sin, and gives us eternal life. It's interesting that when Jesus walked on this earth, there were those who doubted him. We read this in Matthew 12, that there were scribes and Pharisees who said, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. But he, that's Jesus, answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. And no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Jonah was resurrected, as it were, brought back from the belly of the fish to go and bring salvation to that city of Nineveh. Jesus Christ, the one who is greater than Jonah, died on that cross, was separated from his Father, laid in the grave, but 3 days later risen again, not to save 120,000, but a number that no one can number. Jesus, without doubt, is God's saviour. Our God, without a doubt, is just as merciful and gracious as he has ever been. The Ninevites responded correctly, rightly, to the message that Jonah brought. But what about us? Jesus warns his hearers in his day that the men of Nineveh will rise up at judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. What would be said of our generation? what would be said of you or me this morning when we have heard of God's great salvation? When we have heard that God is merciful, when we've heard that he's gracious, that he's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, that he's provided his own son as a saviour, what is our response? And I want us, as we consider this, to look at these three groups again. Of the Ninevites, of the sailors, and of Jonah. It's all right, I have got it on the right way round. I am starting at the bottom and working up. That's all right. Let's start with Jonah, because I want to work backwards here and build up to the Ninevites. Jonah is angry, isn't he? He's angry. He says that's why he ran away in the first place. He didn't want God to forgive these people. Not these Ninevites, not these people of Assyria who'd threatened, who'd taken land from Israel. Not these enemies of God's people. And when God does relent from sending disaster, Jonah is just furious. I knew you'd be like this, God. I knew you were going to do this. I knew you would be merciful to them. And it's easy for us to sit here and think, well, how terrible. How can Jonah be like that when he's seen such mercy and grace in his own life? When he deserved nothing from God, how can he be like that when he looks at the Ninevites? But can that Jonah thinking creep into our mindsets? Can we think, well, you know, those people we read about in the newspapers, those who've killed, you know, multiple people, those who've maybe been dictators and tyrants over whole nations, who've got the blood of so many people on their hands. No, God shouldn't show mercy to them. Not those abusers who've taken the innocence, the trust, the lives of children. Not those who've stolen, you know, from the weak and helpless and just made their own fortune and lined their own pockets. Not that colleague who's torpedoed the career of myself and so many others. No. People like that surely shouldn't be shown mercy and grace from God. It's very easy, isn't it, to kind of start with a big wide circle and think, well, you know, God shouldn't show mercy and grace. And then it just gets a little bit closer. And we can make our own rules for who we think God should be gracious to. We can decide who we're comfortable with seeing coming into our church. We can decide what kind of people we want to mix with, who we'd be happy coming to our community groups. You can think, what's God doing dealing with people such as that? Why is God showing mercy and grace in other nations, to other countries, and not to us here, not to us in this village or this city? Does Jonah's mindset ever creep into ours? God is abounding in love and is merciful and gracious. And he says himself, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. He is under no obligation to show mercy to anyone. But he does. And he shows it to us. And you might be sat here this morning knowing that he has shown it to you. Let us never think like Jonah. Never let us think that, well, God must have seen something in me. You know, it wasn't too hard for him to save me because, well, I wasn't so bad. No. We're drenched in sin. We're sin by our very nature. And yet God shows us mercy and grace. Let us not be angry or resentful when God shows that grace to others. Let us rather pray for it and plead for it, that he would show it to many more. But we also have these sailors, don't we? They have an interesting response, and I suppose I might be taking a bit of a liberty with what I'm going to say about them, but if it wasn't quite true for the sailors, then it's certainly true that this is a response that many people show to God's word. You see, these were superstitious men. We saw earlier at the beginning of chapter 1 that they each pray to their own gods. Let's all pray to different gods. Let's just cover all bases. We'll pray to all of them. And then maybe one of them might be real. One of them might save us. We might get an answer. They see God graciously dealing with Jonah. They see his power. And then there at the end of chapter 1, they fear him and offer sacrifices to him and make vows. Was there any heart change in those sailors? I can't say for sure. But there are many, at the time of Jonah and now, who see something of God's grace and mercy. Who know something of this God of the Bible. Perhaps who have relatives. Perhaps, you're brought along here each Sunday that you know something of this God. It's a nice place to be on a Sunday. We can see our friends and, well, we can just kind of add God into our lives. We can come here on a Sunday. It fits in with our social calendar quite nicely. We might see people in the week as well, but it doesn't really affect anything. It's just another interest or hobby to add on to the list of things that we do. Yeah, we like to bake, we like to meet with friends, and we'll go to church. God kind of fits in with those other categories in our lives. He can go on the shelf with the other gods, with the other idols of our hearts. Perhaps that was how the sailors responded. Yes, we've seen what this God can do. We're just adding to our list. Here's our superficial response. Do we think that's what God demands? Think God is happy with that? We can fool each other, can't we? We can fool ourselves even into thinking that that's good enough. But, I don't believe God would have spared Nineveh if their response had been like that. If they had just added God into the list of the gods that they served, carried on with their lives and just had God as an extra in their social calendar. No, you see, when we look at the Ninevites, we see the right response to God's word. We see that the heading there in the ESV at the beginning of verse 6 of chapter 3 says, "The people of Nineveh repent." There's three things briefly that they do here. First of all, they believe the message that Jonah brings. Jonah says, 40 more days and this city will be overthrown. They realized this message he was bringing them was right. They realized that they were deserving of God's judgment. They believed the prophet's message. Do we believe the gospel message? Do we believe what the Bible says about us, that we are sinners in need of a savior? That we cannot save ourselves, that we will not be all right by ourselves, that we can't just add God onto our social calendar. That God needs to be our God. He needs to be our everything. That we're not supposed to live our lives as if they're our own, because they're not. And once they believe that message, they repent. They turn from the evil that they're doing and turn to God. How can you imagine what it must have looked like in that city? With every single person, every single animal chicken and goat just covered in cloth, all starving, all parched, all sorrowful, all calling out to God. Must have been a sight to see. But you know, they knew that they needed to turn from their way of life and turn to God. The Bible doesn't talk about becoming a Christian as a little change, as something insignificant. It talks about it as going from darkness to light. And you know how bright and powerful a light can be if you go from a dark room into sudden bright sunlight. It makes you stop. It makes you blink. It talks about it coming from death into life. Can there be any more polar opposites than death and life? The people of Nineveh believed the message and they repented. They turned from their sin and turned to God. What is that message that goes out so clearly in the New Testament? Repent and believe the good news. You see, we also see that they had faith. They believed God's message. They repented from their sin. In verse 9, we see that they have faith. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. I didn't start reinforcing their flood defenses in case God should send another great flood. They didn't put protective shields over the top of the city in case fire and brimstone came raining down again. They didn't build bunkers underground to try and hide from God's judgment. They repented and then trusted. They had faith that God would act as they knew he could, that he would show mercy and grace. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot build our own little bunkers or protective shields or defences against the judgment that we deserve from God. There is only one place we can hide. There is only one place we are safe. And that is at the cross of Jesus Christ. And we are called to have faith. We are called to believe and trust that his sacrifice is enough. That there's nothing we can add to it. That there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Peter and John in their sermon in Acts 4 said this: there is salvation in no one else, because there is no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. The Ninevites believed, repented, and had faith that God would turn and relent. Is that our response to what we learn of God in the Bible? We have seen that God showed mercy to Nineveh. He was gracious with those sailors. He was so slow to anger with Jonah. And this God, our God, is the same. His justice demands a payment for our sins. A payment that Jesus Christ has paid. We have a Saviour that says, believe. We have a gospel that says, repent. And what do? Let us not be like Jonah and be angry at God's mercy. May we not be like those sailors may have been and just added on as something superficial in our lives. But let us believe and repent and have faith. For I know that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Amen.